Good morning. We're live. Welcome to Smart Citizen. I'm Emily Bowes, and I'm very excited to be interviewing Beverly Anderson, who is a candidate for the school board this year. Beverly, thank you so much for coming on this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for school board?
Okay. Hi, I'm Beverly Anderson. I taught school in Virginia Beach for 36 years. And at the end of my career of teaching, one day I was a little upset over the professional learning community that we were having at school that day and decided, you know, there needs to be someone on the school board who is a classroom teacher, who can bring the perspective of a classroom teacher to the board. So I was a little upset over the PLC that we were having and was walking down the hall and said, you know what? I've been teaching 36 years. I think it's time that I retire and run for the school board to bring the teacher's perspective to the board. And that's what I've done. And that was in 2012. So I retired in June, ran for the school board that fall. I got elected. Was re-elected in 2016, and before that I was vice chair on the board, and I remained vice chair on the board for 2 years, and then I was elected as chair of the board, and I was chair of the board for 3 years, and so currently I'm not chair right now because I did it for 3 years and relinquished that duty to someone else to do, and so. But I'm still a member of the board, and I still bring a perspective of a classroom teacher to the board. My husband's retired Navy. I have two sons in the Coast Guard. So I also bring a military perspective to the board as a Navy wife and as a mom of two sons who are traveling around the world sometimes, you know. So I do bring that perspective as well. And I still... when I vote on things, I still think of myself as a classroom teacher, and I visit schools often to get the perspective of the teachers who are teaching there now, because it's a different world from 8 years ago when I was a teacher. They are teaching some, right now this fall, they're teaching virtually as well as face-to-face in many cases. And so they really have a super job to do. So I've visited as many as possible right now. Mostly I've visited teachers who are virtually teaching from their own homes, and that is a whole new light, but my hat's off to the teachers who are doing this now. They are working their tails to the bone, is how I put it, but so, yeah. And, you know, I want to continue advocating for students and teachers. The other, one thing that I'm proud of, so proud of, is that when I first got on the board, we only had 12 schools in Virginia Beach who had full-day kindergarten. And I thought, you know, that's not right. And I taught kindergarten for 27 of my 36 years. So I knew that we needed full-day kindergarten for everyone. It was inequitable. It was inequity for our students and for the community at large. So I started working on that. And in the beginning, I had to convince my colleagues on the board that it was important to have full-day kindergarten. So I finally convinced them, and then we had to start working on getting funding from city council, so we had to work on them as well. So I'm so proud to say that this fall, right now, we have full-day kindergarten in all 54 elementary schools in Virginia Beach. So I really feel like I've accomplished something, and I want to continue fighting for what's right for our students and teachers in our city.
That's wonderful. There's so many things that you said that I would like to follow up on. First of all, thank you to your family, your husband, your sons, yourself for your service to our country and our city. I really appreciate that. And I know, you know, I believe everyone watching does as well. And so thank you for that. And also with full day kindergarten, help me understand, as an outsider, someone who's not involved in the education system, why is that important, and why was that such a big accomplishment to achieve in our city?
It was a huge accomplishment. First of all, as I pointed out, it was not right. It was not fair. It was inequity within our city limits. We had, you know, some communities where you live, your child got to go to full day kindergarten. If you didn't live in that area of the city, then your child didn't get to go to full day kindergarten. That just wasn't right. And so I finally convinced, it took a lot, had to convince, I had to lobby city council really hard. And I had some help. You know, I had colleagues on the board who finally realized that, okay, yeah, it's important for us to have this. And so they helped as well. But I was the one who kind of led the charge on this. And so why was it important to have full day kindergarten? Because as a former kindergarten teacher, I knew there were times that when I was teaching kindergarten, that we would break down into small groups and do reading, little reading groups, right? Mm-hmm. And so let me back up just for a second. In 1973, when they started kindergarten in Virginia Beach, there was no way possible to have full day kindergarten. They didn't have enough capacity. They didn't have the room, all right? So that was part of the reason why it all started out being half day. And then the curriculum in 1973 was, you know, you teach the children the letters and the sounds, and if you get that done, then you're pretty much finished for the year, right? You can count 20, you're good. The curriculum changed over the years. Most people started sending their children to preschool on their own. And so the curriculum was pushed down. And so now when children leave kindergarten, they're pretty much reading on a level that some of our first graders were doing in 1973. So, and so the curriculum was pushed down further. And so now when they leave, and so what I was told when I was teaching, okay, your lower students, you make sure you meet with those lower students, you know, who don't know their letters and sounds, et cetera. You meet with those students every day. And then the kids who are kind of like an average, you know, you meet with them if you can every day, but if not, every other day. And then those students who come to us, and believe it or not, there are some students who come to us in kindergarten who are already reading. If you meet with those students every 3 days, okay, because there just wasn't time to be able to break down to meet with every single group every single day. And I didn't think that was right. I didn't think that was fair, because I felt like, you know, I felt like I should be able to meet one-on-one with my students, not one-on-one as most, but small group, at least every day. And if nothing else, at least every other day, but at least I needed to meet with those students on a regular basis. And half-day kindergarten just did not allow the time. And so that's the main reason why I really felt like we needed to have full day kindergarten, so that we could meet the needs of those students, all students, every day. And so that was my main reason for pushing for full day kindergarten. And I had people who were saying, oh, it's just a babysitting service. You're just going to have them take naps, et cetera. They don't take naps. They work. They work all day long. Mm. And of course, they don't do as much in the afternoon as far as heavy curriculum. But if you don't get to meet with a reading group, let's say before 12 o'clock, and you have to meet with them at, you know, after lunch at 12:30, okay, that's fine. But at least you're meeting their needs and you're meeting with them every single day. And that's really important if you're going to meet the needs of students and address their needs. So
I started reading when I was 3. So to speak to what you're saying, my mom said that I was already reading at 3, but right. Some of my siblings were, you know, had different struggles than I had with that, but just as an interesting example, that does make sense. So that was a huge accomplishment, obviously, from your last 8 years on the school board. Is there any other, you know, one other accomplishment from your time so far that you're really proud of or would like to highlight?
Well, I was honored to be elected as vice chair on the board and as chair for 3 years. I feel like my colleagues look to me as a leader, and they still look to me. They still look to me as being a leader, even though I'm not the chair currently, but, you know, they know that I've been through that. And so I still get calls from my colleagues, you know, what is your opinion on this? Because they'll call me and just ask my opinion on something. So I feel like, you know, being elected as the leader of the board is an accomplishment in itself. And it's a huge responsibility to be the chair of a board where there are 67,000 students across the city. So I feel like I did a good job. I brought a lot of accomplishment to the board. We established a policy committee. We established a governance committee. We established a planning and performance committee, all under my leadership. So those are things that really help the board to work more cohesively and give more input from members.
So. Mm. So for people who might not be as familiar with the school board, how it works, the inner workings of it, or even why it's so important. I think until COVID hit, I think a lot of people were sort of blissfully unaware, if you will, of the amount of impact that local government had on their lives. And right. I think parents who are very involved obviously understand, you know, the role that the school board plays. But I think there's quite a few people that really didn't fully comprehend the full scope that local government has and the school board, obviously, in this case. So can you, as an insider, you know, can you give me a little bit of an idea of maybe what some of the scope that school board covers that might surprise people? And, you know, tell me a little bit more about being the chairman. What does that, you know, what does that mean? What does that look like? And for outsiders, what, you know, why is that really important?
Right. Okay. So let me back up just for a minute. And let's talk just for a minute about what the role of the school board is. Okay. So the school board is the governing body. They're kind of like the board, and then the school board has the major responsibility of hiring the superintendent, and then the superintendent actually runs the school system. So he's the CEO that we appoint. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we just come up with the governing policies of the board, and so the CEO looks to us for guidance, but pretty much the superintendent runs the school system. He hires staff to help him. He's the direct supervisor of all the principals, and of course the principals then are the direct supervisors of the teachers. Mm-hmm. But you know, the board itself creates policy and reviews policy and sets the direction, you know, helps to set the direction that they give to the superintendent. And so that's the role of the board. And a lot of people don't quite understand that we get emails with them, the board needs to do this and the board needs to do that. Well, in many cases, what they're telling the board to do is really the responsibility of the superintendent. Mm. Now, if he's not doing the direction that the board wants him to, you know, to be going, then we speak to him and we talk with him, and the chairman of the board, the chairperson of the board, has a direct relationship with the superintendent. But our superintendent, Dr. Spence in Virginia Beach, is very accessible to all board members. Mm. I mean, of course, if I called him right now, he would pick up and talk with me as a board member. But as the chair, you know, you kind of also speak on behalf of the board from in many cases. And the way we work in Virginia Beach is that the chair's job also entails, like we get a lot of emails that are directed to the entire board. And so instead of all 11 people responding to that person, usually we refer to the chair and the chair responds on behalf of the board. And in that respect, the chair doesn't give their personal opinion, but they speak in general on behalf of the board. And of course, any board member can answer constituents when they send us an email, of course. But in most cases, we allow the board, the chairman, to answer on our behalf. And the chair copies the rest of the board. So if you disagree with what the chair has to say, you can always send an email yourself. But in most cases, the chair tries to keep it kind of general and just gives a perspective with facts and not opinions.
Mm.
So that's not the only responsibility. The chair also, you know, speaks on behalf of the board a lot of times. The media they have a meeting and that they usually ask the chair to do some opening remarks and things like that. So there's a lot of other things that go on with the